Hey everybody, welcome to the Android App Addicts Show. This is episode number 448. We've got the dynamic duo here tonight. It's just Dor and I being the manager, Eric Ardini, and Dor, Steve, door-to-door geek McLaughlin. How you doing, Dor?
You said dynamic duo. Do you know what's happening here in like 2 weeks?
I'm going to take my ice and mix it with your ring or something, and we're going to make a ice road that we can get away from the bad guys on.
No.
Oh, that was Wonder Twins. I'm sorry. I got those confused.
On, I believe it's October 10th or October the 11th, in select theaters, they're going to be playing a brand new movie, an animated movie, a Batman and Robin animated movie with Adam West.
Oh, he does the voice for Batman?
Well, he's too old to do any Batman material. But yes, and I'm trying to find out if there's anyone. So I go to OLF. The day I come back, the very next day, it's going to be in theaters. And I'm not a movie guy. I never go to the movies. Part of the reason is anything that is safe for my kids to go see, and I'm actually kind of conservative, I don't want to see. But this movie, it's Adam West. There's going to be no F-bombs or anything like that, and it's an animated movie, so my youngest could be entertained, and it's Batman.
Oh, man. Can you imagine how well they can animate a pow and a bam these days with all the computers? Oh,
the pow and bangs now are just off the chart, I'm sure.
I hope you got 3D glasses to watch the letters come at you.
Yeah, that'll cause a mild headache.
That'd be interesting. That would be interesting. Sounds cool.
So we missed 1 week, a 2 week absence, and I will say this. There's a blistering amount of apps in my queue, at least. But there's also, and next week is the Google announcement, where they're expecting now a couple announcements. They're expecting the mini phone, the XL phone, the Pixel 3, some kind of automation, home automation center, and at least one or two more pieces of hardware.
Well, the Google Home, the Nexus 7 replacement. Is that the Pixel you were talking about? Right. And the convertible laptop.
Yeah, that's the Pixel 3 is what they're calling it.
Oh, okay.
Okay, now, that's the only device to me that's worth talking about, because the small phone and the big phone, there's nothing substantial, even in the rumor mill, that makes them stand out. The Huawei tablet, there's nothing substantial I see that makes it stand out.
For the Nexus 7 tablet?
Yeah, it's just a Huawei-based tablet.
Well, for us who have had our Nexus 7 since 2013, we are itching for that one.
I know, but what is it going to do different or unique or special or grandioso or different or unique or new?
When you spend 3 years using a tablet and it slows down over those 3 years and it hasn't, you know, it kept up pretty good and it's running, Nougat. But yes, we do. And if that's what we're used to using, we're ready.
Well, I mean, don't get me wrong. It's going to be a cool device, I bet, but there's nothing substantial about it.
No, but if it's your go-to device, you would like the upgraded version because but the other one's old.
I know, but we've already talked about it too long. There's nothing, a new tablet.
Oh yeah, no, there's nothing to talk about except for where do I get in line?
Or order online and wait 2, 3, 4 weeks to get it. The home automated thing sounds cool, but I'm gonna hold my judgment because who cares? I have the best home automation system ever invented in the universe. I have my kids. Billy, turn the TV off. There's no configuration. There's no rebooting. There's no security updates. You know, granted, it's a high maintenance fee and it takes a lot of intake and it's a lot to clean up, but it works.
I didn't know your wife's name was Billy. You just tell her go turn off the TV and stuff for you?
No, I'm my wife's home automation.
Oh.
So, you know, it's like a hierarchical thing. I pass it down. But I'll say the Pixel 3, to me, that's the only thing that can do something. And that is the 2-in-1 laptop-like device, rumored $700.
Wow.
$700 frigging dollars, okay? Which I understand, like the Pixel and the whatever Pixel, they were really expensive. So, yeah. Okay, I guess I get it.
And they didn't sell because they were too expensive.
Well, I know, but I know two people that had them. They both swore by them. And I believe them. I believe they were great devices. But I'm not spending that kind of money on the device. But the real differentiating factor, the real unique thing about that device is it's supposedly going to be running a brand new hybridized, aka GMO'd, operating system where they're going to basically splice DNA from Chrome OS and Android into one singular operating system. So I got to ask you, what's the first things you think about when you hear that, Eric?
Andromeda.
Okay, but after that.
Oh, okay. Well, that was first.
It was.
I would think that you can use it offline, and you can take it with you and just get some computing done where Chrome, you really couldn't do that.
There were more than a couple things you could do offline. That was, to me, one of those, you know how people complain about racial profiling? To me, that's kind of like operating system profiling. You could install stuff like Google Docs offline plugin and do everything you could do online offline. There were plugins and apps where you could do some low-level graphic editing, photo manipulation, audio editing, sound manipulation kind of thing, and games you could run in the browser completely offline. What you couldn't do is the obvious things, YouTube videos. But of course, if you had YouTube Red, you could download and watch offline. But yes, I mean, Chrome OS offline was far less functional. But I'll say this, Eric, my Android phone offline is much less useful.
I don't know when I'm offline. Even if I didn't have a cellular plan on a Pixel laptop, I'd still be online most of the time anyway.
Well, no, but easy. Just turn your phone on airplane mode and then try to do stuff. And you'll find out 99% of the stuff you want to do, you can't do.
Hey, this Fi program that I've been on with this 5X, I limit myself. I'm right at 1 gig a month. That's all I need.
Wow.
I can do that.
I'll say that is amazing.
And it now, is.
If this device supports Google Fi, that's awesome.
Yeah,
and because if I can see limiting my bandwidth on that device and still being able to do a lot of stuff.
If I can do that, anybody can do that. Because I was easily 12 gigs a month before.
Right. Well, I'm still about 50.
Okay.
Here's the only thing I think about with this operating system, Eric. A, it's 3 years too late. Okay. This was needed literally 3 years ago. Now it's too late. Google's latest endeavors all to me seem to be way too late. Duo was 2 years too late. Allo was at least 2 years too late. They're just behind for some reason.
Well, here's why they could be behind, because this is the way Apple has always played the game.
They would
sit there and watch everybody fumble over themselves trying to get something pushed out, and then they'd sit back and see what works and what doesn't, and then fill in those gaps that didn't work and add the things that people might actually want. That's why I have hope for the Google Home. Because they've got to sit back and see what Amazon has done with the Echo and opening it up, and what people have developed themselves, and what expanded functionality Amazon themselves have given it, and hopefully they just take that to the next level. Because Google Now already works great, you know, just to have Google Now in that box. Plus, I'm sure it's going to do, you know, other things because they own Nest, so they got the home automation engineers around. I expect big things for that product. Now, the Pixel laptop, that sounds expensive to me. What was, this is my question to you, if I don't remember what the price was of that Lenovo with the cool lid.
$450.
Yeah. Okay. If they were the same price, would you still go for the Lenovo?
It would be difficult. It would be very difficult for me to, because this Pixel 3 will have Wacom Pen support, which is one of the things that I think could be cool. It's going to have a huge amount of internal space.
But now
the Lenovo, we have no idea how much internal space it's going to have.
The Lenovo had pen support, maybe not Wacom, though, right?
And this Pixel does, too. The Pixel 3 is going to have crazy RAM, literally like something like 16 gigs of RAM is what I thought I read. And huge amount of internal space. Well, but you got to remember, Pixel is supposed to be the Rolls Royce, so I guess I understand that. But my whole thing is, who is this device for? And I say this because Chromebooks have became the number one selling laptop device, at least in the United States, for a while. They once in a while slip in the numbers, but they always bounce right up. But the number one, the main selling feature on the Chromebook is they're cheap.
Yeah.
That's like Chevy taking the Chevy Nova, bringing it back out as a compact car with no power, which they did.
Yeah, and that was one of the best cars I ever owned, by the way.
But it didn't matter because people didn't buy it.
I did.
Because the Nova name is associated with raw power.
No, the Nova name is associated with doesn't move. Nova in Spanish is Nova. Va is to go. And Nova means you don't go. Yeah.
So that's one reason why I think no manufacturer is going to be able to make this Andromeda a successful device. The other reason is the same reason why Android TV is not successful. There are plenty of fans out there. I love the idea of it, but it is not successful. And I'll say it to a certain degree cannot be successful. It's in its genetics. Again, back to the genetic thing. Because app developers have to target it. They have to focus their app development towards it because of the F word, fragmentation. Okay. So app developers are going to have to specifically write towards this Pixel operating system, this Andromeda operating system, or else you don't know how the app's going to work. Might work good, might work bad, might crash, might, no one knows. And here's the real kicker. You know, a huge percentage of the Chromebook allure, sales, numbers, mystique comes because schools are buying them. Now, thankfully, they did announce they're not stopping the Chromebook series. And good, because they can't. Because schools will not buy hybridized operating systems. They like the Chromebook because it is so neutered, is the best way I can put it.
Yeah.
And it's very easy to lock down. It's very easy to control in a domain-type environment. So who the hell is this Pixel 3 Andromeda operating system for? And if, hypothetically, 2 years ago, me. I'm the guy that bought the Remix Ultra tablet. I'm the guy that bought the Remix Mini. I'm the guy that wants this type of ecosystem. But my question really is, who the hell wants Chrome OS? Why don't you just take the Chrome application in Android and make it more Chrome-like? That's all you got to do. Give me Android on a laptop, take the Chrome Android app, and make it more like the actual web browser Chrome. You don't need to mix operating systems. To me, this is literally shoving a nuclear bomb up someone's butt because they have a big, when like all they have is a small fever. What the hell are you thinking? And I'm going to quote Cinemassacre, angry video game nerd. What are you thinking? Why would you do that? I don't understand. So I believe this is going to be another Google wave, another Google buzz, another fail, a huge fail. And I do think that home automation thing is going to be the black sheep where it's going to, in a year, be the thing that's really big and really people use. I don't know. That's just my thought. I've been wrong plenty of times. If you don't believe me, ask my wife. She says I'm wrong every day. So
I'm hoping you're overthinking and giving Andromeda much more credit than it's due. I'm hoping Andromeda is more like what you say. Hopefully it's a lot like Android, uses the Play Store, and uses the Play Store in a way that doesn't make the developers cater to it too much. I haven't seen it, so I don't know what it is exactly. Well, but I think it's gotta be pretty useful right off the bat. And the thing that makes me really think that is because it comes with 16 gigs of RAM. If it was a brand new operating system built from the ground up and something completely different, it wouldn't need any RAM hardly to run because there wouldn't be much bloat behind it. It wouldn't have lines and lines of useless code under it that it's trying to keep slugging along due to legacy reasons. So I think the fact that they'd give it that much RAM, it's got a lot of its roots, I'm thinking, in Android.
Well, yeah, here are a couple of the rumored specs. You can get either an i3 or an i5 processor. For Android...
So it's x86.
For Android, that's a lot. For Chrome OS, that's really good. With 32 or 12 gigabytes of onboard storage, that's not really crazy special or fancy, but that is a good amount. And either 8 or 16 gigs of RAM. That's, as my oldest would say, that's just cray-cray.
That cray-cray.
Yeah, that's just cray-cray.
That's cray-cray because it's more than I got in this full-size desktop I'm podcasting with you on right now.
Right. And now, if Sigmund Freud was here, he would get to the root of why I'm saying all this about this Andromeda. Here's the real reason.
Oh.
Okay. Google Fuchsia was announced a while ago. Now, straight from the GitHub documentation for Fuchsia, this is what it says. On the other hand, Magenta, which is the actual kernel in Fuchsia, Magenta targets modern phones and modern personal computers with fast processors, non-trivial amounts of RAM with arbitrary peripherals doing open-ended computation. If this Andromeda operating system is not using the Linux kernel as its backbone, as its core, and it's using Fuchsia, I want it to die on the vine.
Then you don't even want to see it, do you?
I don't. I want it to die on the vine belligerently. Because what's wrong with the Linux kernel? I'm sorry. It's good enough to run this little teeny tiny mini computer, and it's good enough to run the biggest supercomputers in the world. 98% of the top 100 supercomputers, aka 99 out of 100, or the 98 out of 100, run Linux. If it's good enough to span this use case and that use case, my simple-mindedness cannot comprehend why you would want something else, except if you wanted to take over the world. I don't know.
Well, being that they're x86, I didn't realize that this was an x86 computer. That does give you probably more promise that it's going to be Linux based.
I don't know, but also it more to me justifies a $700 price point because you're running Intel processors and everything. Sure. So I more understand a expensive price.
But Google has never had a thanks phone for hearing that. I didn't say anyway. Google has never had an x86 operating system, so maybe they've been working on this for a long time, and it probably, and there's a good chance, if that's the case, and if they started working on this when they started working on Android, or took over Android, there's a good chance that you might not ever want to see this and let it die in the vine, because they may have had engineers throwing lots of time at an x86 operating system, and here we go.
Well, they had Chrome OS, but not an Android. I believe you're right. I believe Google has never put out anything x86 Android before. I believe. And yeah, I mean, I want more support for Android because, to be honest, the real reason I like Android, starting with it's not Windows, so that has it going for it. But it really is, like the Linux desktop, virtually uninfectable. I mean, there are all these things I see about infections. They're all overseas. They're all third world countries. They're all basically not Google Play apps. I'm sure they happen. I'm also sure it's possible a comet's going to come through my door right here. I'm not worrying about it. I'm not stressing about it. Why? Because it ain't happening. My Android device has never gotten an infection. I don't expect it ever will.
Right.
And even though I have people sending me bad links purposely, I asked them to. They send me infected PDFs and stuff purposely because I asked them to. I click those things all day long. Nothing ever happens. Oh, I once in a while see in my browser a Windows screen.
Oh,
that's kind of funny.
But that would be pretty good.
Right. But for right now, in this universe I live in this reality I see from my perspective in this point, that's why I like the idea of an Android laptop to be near uninfectable device where I can get everything I need done. And I know I'm weird.
Dora, are you using Adobe PDF Reader to open those PDFs in your Android?
I don't believe I have Adobe. I believe I'm using the Google PDF Reader.
Oh, okay. We haven't talked about an app yet, but no, this is good stuff. Anyway, I just installed the Adobe PDF Reader. I wasn't even sure that there was such a thing.
There is. And I'll tell you, all the venom I spewed at Adobe, in my life, I almost feel bad about it now because I just found out like a couple weeks ago they're Canadian.
You didn't know that?
No.
Oh, I thought that's why you were so mean to them.
No. Why would I be mad? I mean, I love maple syrup.
Yeah, yeah.
I can respect hockey.
No, I know. I think exactly two people from Canada, and they're both awesome. So, but Adobe, so I have to use it daily at work. And I was always in the door camp. I would turn and run as far away from Adobe as I could my entire life until now that I need it. And now that I need it, it's the only thing that does what it does. And it does it, and it does its thing really well.
I agree.
And, so I make PDFs with links So that, like, you got a menu on your page one, you click click step four, and it takes you all the way down 82 pages into step right. four on your PDF. No,
that means Eric created a anchor tag, and he's hyperlinking inside the document. Honestly, that's the kind of crap in Adobe Acrobat Professional I used to love creating, because I had to use it for in work for a couple years, and there were some things in that app, I gotta say, Eric, it did marvelous.
Okay, so it does that really well, and it does redactions really well. Those are the two things I use.
If you do, you clean it up.
Huh?
If you redact, you better clean it up.
I redact people's names out of documents so that they can be distributed to the general public, so you don't give away any personal information. So it does those things really well, but the Adobe, so I started, I'm like, oh yeah, check this out, man. It's fancy. All you guys, check it out. So we got these new, you know, agendas and packets and everything. And, oh, it doesn't work on my tablet, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, what? So no, the Drive Reader and Google Reader, neither of those actually, those hyperlinks don't do anything. You have to install. Well, there may be other third party PDF readers that do work, but I just went ahead because I just needed to know. I installed the Adobe Reader for Android and it worked well.
And I'm sure it works well.
Yeah.
I just, you know, am allergic to it. I develop a rash.
And we don't have to worry like we used to, you know, with infected Adobe PDFs and things, or infected PDF files like we did in Windows that I know of.
For now is yeah. what I always want to caveat that with. So is that your first app? You're bringing the Adobe...
It wasn't. No, I can though. I don't know if we've ever brought it to the show before.
It's your call, because if you're not bringing that, I have my app ready.
Okay, go ahead. No, that was just you mentioned Adobe and viruses, and I just wondered if you'd caught one on Android. So, what's your first app?
Okay. This first app is a what's it called? Unreleased app, I believe. Unreleased. Yeah. It's a unreleased app. Bill Miller in the Google Plus did post about this. I actually downloaded it maybe 2 days before he posted it. There's a reason for it, Eric.
Is this the one you said is a drug?
We all have problems in our life. We all must face our addictions and deal with them. I used to play the crap out of this game, and here's one of the reasons why. You could install it in Chrome OS as a plugin and play it offline.
Okay, this is called Don't Starve Pocket Edition.
Yeah, Don't Starve Pocket Edition, unreleased by KLEI Entertainment Inc. They're the real people behind it. It is first and foremost a installable game, Windows, Mac. I don't believe they have a Linux. I'm afraid to look. Hopefully they don't have a Linux port. They are available on Steam and on Humble Store and all these things. And I knew for a while they were working on Android port, but I haven't touched the game for a year because I can't touch it because I got to be productive. I got to get stuff done. And then I saw this, and everything just went right to hell in a handbasket kind of thing. There's no video for it in the store. Indicator number one.
Yeah.
And honestly, Eric, I can't wait until I hear some random Android say, you know what I noticed? I noticed when there's no videos for a game in the Google Play Store, they seem to be better games. Because I know it's going to come. I know it's going to come. and I know they're not going to give credit because they never do. But that's okay. The essence of this game is it is a very pretty, very green-gray, though, drabby looking universe where you as a scientist, as the first default character, have been exiled, and your goal is to not starve. So it's mainly crafting you have to do. Crafting, hunting, trapping, building, discovering, you know. There is a way to quote unquote beat the game, but I've never gotten even close to that far, I don't believe so. On a small device, this is much less desirable to play. Period. Can't say it any clearer than that. It will not install on my Ultra Remix tablet, so this is an unsupported device. Well, when it's in an unreleased status, I don't expect it to be installable on a lot of devices. I basically can't install it on anything except for my phone, which is a foreign, not U.S. phone, and my son's non-U.S. native phone. It won't install on my Moto X or anything else I have. Nothing with a bigger screen. So I'm a little bit upset at that, but whatever, I'll deal with it for now. It is a lot of fun. There's basically, it's the kind of game, if you want, there's never a limit to your learning and exploration and discovery and crafting. and killing, because you will have random things come at you. Like sometimes once or twice a year, you literally go through the seasons, summer, winter, fall, spring, eventually if you stay alive long enough. And like random wild dogs will like come and try to kill you and other stuff.
So crafting, you're building walls and traps for catching animals and keeping them from eating you?
Well, you go around in the very beginning, you take tufts of grass, then you take little saplings and tear them apart, and you can combine them into rabbit traps or little small creature traps. When you find flint, you can then take that and you can take your saplings, then make an axe, then you can chop down trees, get real logs. You can then, with also flint, make a pickaxe and break down rocks to smaller rocks. So you can take materials out of the surrounding environment, break them down, and then when you're back at your camp, next to your machine, in the very first screenshot, you see a globe sitting on a tripod.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to explain what that is, but when you're close, physically close to that, your mind opens up and you're more able to do more things. You're able to craft more hard, difficult things. And you can craft all kinds of stuff, weird stuff, from hats and vests to a refrigerator, a teepee, drying racks to make jerky, cooking pots. I mean, all kinds of stuff. It's a very, very deep game. Right now, $3.99. If you are a fan of crafting, I definitely urge you, check it out. Right now, because it's in a pre-whatever stage, you can't even rate it yet.
It's interesting. This game will install on my phone. It'll install on my Dell Venue 10 tablet.
Ooh, yeah.
And it'll install on my on the new Android box I just got that I can play on the TV. So that might be a good place for it.
This is the kind of game a Bluetooth controller is worthless, but a mouse could be very good. I got to tell you that right now, a mouse might be very good on it. Because on a touchscreen, sometimes there's very small points. This is why a small phone. Sometimes there's very small points, like you chop down a tree and a couple logs and a pine cone might drop. You sometimes might have to tap on a smaller device 3-4 times to pick up the small thing because you're not tapping it directly.
Gotcha.
Where with a full mouse, you might be able to click it perfectly. I will say that this is the kind of game, if you just launch the game and start playing it, I don't know how far you're going to get. I think it requires at least watching somebody else play or reading it to a degree to really grasp on what you're supposed to, on some of the things you can do.
Say. Watch some YouTube videos or something.
Yeah, because like there's spider nest hives that if you approach it the right way with the right tools in your thing, you can take it down and get a whole lot of silk and other things. But if you try to approach it wrong or at the wrong time of day, like AKA in the middle of the night, you're going to die.
You know? So do you just respawn where you died then?
You can find a spot, a resurrection thing. And if you find it, then you die, then you get resurrected back to that spot. But if you die, you die, you die. You die. You're dead. There ain't no coming back.
So you're starting over.
You're starting over. Oh. And every time you start a game, it basically completely randomly generates the entire map, the surroundings.
Oh.
So every time you start the game, you have a different map, a different layout with different things possible in different areas. Some things might not even exist in one map. Then there's also wormholes you can come across. You basically walk up to this hole in the ground, teeth open up, and you jump in it, and you appear someplace completely different in the map or in a different land. Huh. But every time, it's random.
Sounds like a pretty deep game, man. There's a lot to this.
There is, and I keep telling myself I'm going to do a YouTube gaming Android app run of this where it will upload my video to YouTube showing how the game plays.
I keep telling myself I'm going to do the same thing with some app too, but I haven't.
It's just, I can't say it enough. A hell of a lot of fun, but I know it's not for everybody, but I don't care. This game is friggin' awesome. I bought it on Steam. I bought it as a Chrome browser plugin where I could play it all offline on Chrome OS, and now I bought it again on Android.
And it actually is for everyone. It's E for everyone.
E for everyone, yeah. It is kind of dark, though, I will say that. As soon as you launch the game, it goes through a little story. It's a little dark because basically it's the devil who takes you and warps you to this spot.
Spider's got big teeth, too.
Oh, man. Some of that stuff will scare the crap out of you. It's creepy, man.
Okay, door. Do you want to talk about Allo? We don't have to bring it as an app, but
if you think there's something worth talking about, yeah.
Well, I've been trying to try it. There's nothing good. It seems like it would be a really cool app. If it was not only tied to my phone number, and so if it wasn't tied to everybody else's phone numbers, because the people I really want to use it with don't have a smartphone, but they could be using a tablet. But I can't contact them on a tablet because you got to have a smartphone number. So that,
right. I'll say this. Ron Amadio, I believe is how his name is pronounced. Some of the things he says, I think he's really spot on. But once in a while, he just says some really, I think, far-fetched things. Either way, I'll say this. I still think he's a smart fella. He has a couple blog postings basically saying why Allo sucks. Because it does. It completely sucks. But the gimmick is, it's not for us. He believes this app was created for other markets, Brazil, India, and other places, but not to appear like a patronizing. Google released it in the U.S. first and to the rest of the world, so it's not like, here, you Indian people, here's this app for you.
Since you guys haven't taken Facebook Messenger or Snapchat, here's the thing that we should have brought out, like Dor said, 2 years ago.
Right, and they are extremely hooked on, can never remember the name of the app, the one that the Brazil government basically had shut down.
Was it,
going to say WeChat, but that's not right.
Oh, no. That was...
Yeah, it has the green circle with the little thing coming off of it.
Yeah.
Can I remember what it's called? Okay, hold on, wait, okay, we just take a look.
I was thinking Orchid, but that's older.
You just go down on it and say apps like it, similar to it. For some reason, it shows Google Browser similar to it, which is not the case at all. For some reason, it's only showing me Google apps similar to Allo. Yeah, they're not even showing it to me. Oh, man. Who cares? Move on. Other countries are already using solutions in this place, and Google is trying to compete with it. Because, like, here, Facebook Messenger is really the big one. But in other parts of the world, Facebook Messenger is not close to the number one messaging application.
Yeah, I can't stand that one. I would like Allo, but I just can't use it for my case. So I'm going to bring an app.
Right. Well, I'll tell you this, Eric. If they do, which some people are saying, if they do kill Google now by forking it off into pieces, this piece in the home automation app, this piece over here, this piece over there, I'm going to have no choice but to use Allo, because Google Allo has the Google Assistant built into it. And if I don't have Google now, I'm going to need something else to replace it. And it might be Hound, but it might also be Google Assistant inside Allo, I'm not going to lie.
Right. Okay, so the Google Assistant, have you played with the Google Assistant much in Allo?
It's just, I can't tell the difference between that and Google now.
Okay, good. Because I was not finding, there was a couple, it's like Google now without the speech to me. It was like, oh, it types instead of says it.
Well, there is a way you can speak to it, I will say that, but it's not...
But
speak
yeah.
First.
Well, I spoke and then it typed back. I'm like, well, this is the same but worse.
I will censor some of my conversation I've had with Google Allo, where I say like this: what else can I do in Allo? Is what I ask, and it says, "Did you know Allo has picture recognition, and you can learn more at Allo's help center?" That's pretty good. And I say, "What kind of picture recognition?" And it says, "Here to help." And then it gives me a Google search result. Okay, how do I get to the help center is my next question. It responds, "Let's see," and it links me to Facebook Help Center.
Oh, my gosh.
To which I say, not Facebook Hello Center. I'm looking for the Allo Hello Center. There might be some information on the web, it replies, with community search Facebook Help. To which I reply, "You suck bleep." And it responds, My apologies, I don't understand. So then I say, "Can you do SMS?" It says, "Here's what I found on the web. Can I send SMS text message to any number through Skype?" So I then say, "Can Allo do SMS?" And it says, "Top headlines." Another Google search result. And I say, "I don't want bleeping search results. I don't understand. I blanking know you don't understand. Sorry, I don't understand. Go to hell, Allo." So it wants to be this.
That's thing pathetic, that you, dude.
It wants to be this thing that you conversate with, except you're communicating with an idiot. So as far as I can tell for now, the Allo Smart Assistant is special, or as my mom would say, special or touched, you know.
Bless your heart. Well, at first I was thinking that maybe they were going out of their way to not be all Google, you know, to try to, you know, try to keep it on a level playing field so it doesn't feel like it's all steered towards Google. Everything you pull up is Google. But you were asking specific questions that the answer was Google this or Google that. And it felt like it was going out of its way to direct you to Facebook or Microsoft Skype. But it just didn't get it. It wasn't that. It just didn't get it. Was WhatsApp, is that the one you were talking, you were trying to
guess? Yes, thank you. WhatsApp is number one everywhere. Brazil deems it so important. They've said to WhatsApp, hand over the keys, hand over conversation. WhatsApp is using the back end created by Max Moxie Marlinspike, a.k.a. Master Hacker of the Universe, the kind of guy who, if I could, I would get rich and then give him half my wealth. But that ain't happening. Brazil deemed it such a threat, they literally turned off nationwide WhatsApp. They said for 7 days, 24 hours, there was such an uproar, they had to turn it back on. Because everybody in the country apparently uses it as its communication mechanism. And it does do voice chatting, text chatting, and I believe there's also a way now to do video phone chatting back and forth in that app. So this is nothing more than Google begging and pleading and scratching and clawing, trying to catch up. So, and as far as I can tell, they got Vaseline all over their fingers.
And the government didn't like WhatsApp because they could not hear what their citizens were talking about?
I believe they wanted to have like the keys to the kingdom, and WhatsApp is owned by Facebook. So the answer was no.
Okay. I've got an app door, and this was suggested in our Google Plus community, and probably by Bill, I'm guessing. It seems like it was. Could be if it was you and it wasn't Bill. I'm sorry.
This was Bill, but I believe it was actually first Chuck Litchfield might have been the first guy to do it.
Okay, this is called Paper Planes by Active Theory LLC.
Again, no video in the Play Store.
No video. Yeah. And this, there's not nearly as much on the user interface side to this as there was Doors Game. But it's just a neat little thing. So basically, the reason it's called Paper Planes is you fold a virtual piece of paper, and it uses the location of your device to figure out where you're at in the world, and it allows you to put a stamp on this paper airplane wherever you want. There's a couple different stamps to choose from, but on that stamp is your location. It'll say, like for me, it says Rock Falls, Illinois, and then you use your wrist and your device and make a throwing motion with it, and it whisks off into this cloud of paper planes that are circling the Earth. And I think there right now is 165,000 of them or so. Uh-huh. I think there was like 60,000 when I started. And okay, so that's it. That's all you do. Now you can go back there. The next thing you do is you grab a fishnet and you take your fishnet and you kind of wiggle it around in the air and catch one of these virtual paper airplanes that's flying around. And then you unfold it and you can see all the places it's been, because every time somebody caught it, they put their own stamp on it and sent it on its way again, like a chainmail kind of thing, letter sort of, or like a geocache where everybody, you know, does the log and so everybody knows where this paper airplane's been. You stamp it and send it on its way again. And that's really all it is, but it's kind of fun to see, where these are coming from that you catch. And then you can also go back and on the ones that you create, where you start with the very first stamp, you can go back and see where in the world people have grabbed your paper airplane that you first created, and where they've stamped it and where it's virtually flown around the world.
The only thing I'll say is, in no uncertain terms, this is a completely pointless application, but yes, dang, it's cool. I'm sorry. That's a really good idea. This is where somebody literally sat down and just said, how can we have people at least do some kind of virtual interaction, third party, not direct interaction, and make it honestly pretty beautiful. Mm-hmm. The interface is like so simplistic, and yep, the colors are so soft that you can't be mad when you open this app. If you are, you have psychological problems. You need to seek professional help.
Right. Yeah, it's very pastel.
But it is super pointless. But the kind of thing I showed my son, he was amazed and fascinated at the idea of throwing his phone, which I said, now you don't actually throw it. You just make the motion like you're going to throw it, and but you don't throw it. Then, of course, his youngest brother took his phone and he threw it.
Oh.
But he threw it into the couch at least, so
It didn't. That's cool.
This is the kind of thing where whoever thought this up, I would love to literally sit with them and have a beer just to see what kind of things they're thinking in their head. Because this is, to me, really at least kind of unique, kind of different. You know, what made you think of this? What else are you thinking about?
Right.
What other things? Because this is just cool.
Yeah, I guess chat roulette-ish, but without, you know, the video. I mean, it's very simple, though. Much more simple
without the sausage. No chance of sausage. Only 1,400 views, which kind of blows my mind. 3.8 total. Install base only 10 to 50,000. That honestly, Eric, blows my mind. How does something, at least this to me, different, a little bit unique, really good looking, not have, you know, 10 million installs? I don't know.
Well, we didn't bring it to the Android App Addict show until today.
Ah, there you go. Good man.
So check back. So here, I'm going to pull it up because since you brought that up, I'm going to do this little experiment and I'm going to see exactly how many paper planes are in the sky currently. And then I'll check back after the show airs and give it a week or so and we'll see how that changes.
Okay.
And so, you know, because I could see how there could be that many airplanes with that because some people might have more than one. And let's see, I'm going to catch a plane. And I got one. And I'll open it up. And you do pinch and zoom to open it up to see where it's been. This one has been to Castleberry, Florida, Brown County, Wisconsin, and the Ukraine, and one other place in the United States. They actually put their stamp right on top of Ukraine's stamp, which that's kind of rude, I think. So I take it, I fold it back up, flying in the air, and it is now flying around with 175,000 other planes. So it's went up 10,000 since the last time I checked. 175,000. That's where we're at.
Very cool. Very cool. Okay. I can't believe I'm going to start off with this, Eric. But I'm going to say I'm going to put it like this, Eric.
Yes.
Do you know what is the only duty, the only responsibility of the President of the United States of the America?
Well, there is only one duty of the President of the United States of America.
And that is?
And that's to keep the American people safe. Oh, wait, no. I'm just kidding. I would never. No, that is to protect and uphold the Constitution.
To defend and protect and uphold the Constitution, yes. Yeah, you are indeed correct.
Okay.
So the app I'm going to bring, and because we just had this ridiculously, it's like going, and I'm sorry if you live in West Virginia, it's like going to some little town in West Virginia into a adult club. And they having like mud wrestling.
Okay.
That was what I thought about the presidential debate. It was just so unwatchable. I mean, you really couldn't. And then after
mud
a couple
wrestling,
beers,
mud wrestling in a strip club's unwatchable
in West Virginia.
Oh, okay. I've never been to West Virginia. Okay.
But then after a couple beers, you're actually mildly entertained by how just disgusting it is and going because it was horrible.
Okay.
I mean, I truly believe half the people who watched it literally just watched it, hoping they would see a complete meltdown and screaming. But yeah. I digress. The app I'm bringing is from the National Constitution Center, with only 9 reviews, marked E for everyone, better be, called Interactive Constitution. Only has 9 reviews, 3.7 total reviews, only between 500 and 1,000 installs, updated September 2nd. This is why, if you've ever seen the movie Idiocracy, it's becoming more and more of a real possible future documentary. I'm just saying.
Okay?
because this is an app that literally allows you to not have to look at the Constitution with the brown paper writing in script that might be hard to read. Mm-hmm. But it's an actual interactive, searchable, scannable, digital document of the Constitution. If you really want to understand, and this is the other thing, Eric, I make a lot of people mad at work when they start talking about what our forefathers intended this country to be. So I turn to them and just say, how long have you been in this country? And they say, what? I say, how long have you been in this country? What do you mean? How many generations have you been in this country? And then they say, like, you know, 4 or 5. I say, that's really cute. You know how many generations I'm in this country? I say I'm the 14th generation in this country. So I believe my bloodline is much more closer related to the actual forefathers than you. And I'll tell you this right now. You have no idea what the forefathers wanted, okay? You have no clue. This gives you at least an insight into what they actually wrote. We're never going to really understand what was going on in their heads. We're right. never going to completely understand what they envisioned as the future to be. Because come on, who can envision the future? The answer is nobody. The smartest people in the world have no idea what stuff's going to be in 5 years. How in the hell could these guys have been ready to write a stringent document for this country in hundreds of years? Well, the answer is they didn't. They purposely wrote a flexible document. And I cannot encourage people enough, if you really want to start to understand the basis of how this country is what it is, why this country is what it is, where it started at, you really do need to look at the Constitution.
If you learn this, it'll give you a leg up on most people around you. I mean, probably you could probably run for Congress if you just go through this whole app and be more knowledgeable than the people who are running for Congress.
Yeah, because there's a lot of things in at least popular culture that are completely incorrect. Like, nowhere does it say separation of church and state. There is not a single ounce of ink written in any document ever officially signed off as part of the Constitution or the Bill of Rights or the Declaration of Independence or anything that has ever said separation of church and state. Yet we all say it. And by we all, I mean I used to, kind of thing. You really have to understand and read the document to really intelligently, I want to say debate. But that's really not a right word. You really need to read up on this kind of thing so you can help make people around you more intelligent and speak better on these kind of topics. So I can't encourage people enough. We have a election coming up. Everyone says it's the most important election. Well, every election, of course, is the most important election. We have an election coming up. I cannot implore people enough. Look at the Constitution. Look at what it meant this country to be. And then do your civic duty. I really wish as a country we would find people that didn't vote, but we don't. Less than a third of the people, less than a third of the people who are eligible to vote, vote. Okay, that's disgusting. That is literally disgusting.
Well, okay, a couple points to what you're saying. Not only so you can make the people around you smarter, but it gives you your own confidence when you have some grounding in saying things that you know as a fact. And it helps you hold your own when somebody's arguing with you, when you know a fact. And as far as the election thing, Dor, I'm telling you, since how my office is where you register to vote, there's going to be a huge turnout this year. I've never seen so many people come in and register to vote.
Okay. I have no problem.
I'm worried about running out of paperwork for them to take.
I got no problem placing this wager. Less than 50% of the Americans are going to vote.
Well, that's not a fair. I mean, that's yes, I agree. But that's still going to be more than the 22% that voted last time or whatever it was. It's still going to be much higher turnout.
And that's good. Unless, of course, you're in the UK and it's a Brexit vote. Oh, wait, did I say that out loud? Sorry, I digress. And here's the thing. What I said I want a fine if you don't vote. What I really want could never happen. What I really want is an IQ test in the voting booth. And if you fail the IQ test, it doesn't tell you failed the IQ test. It just tells you to vote, and then it throws your vote away. But that's just me.
Hey, who's your favorite foreign leader?
Favorite foreign leader?
Yeah.
Well, for style points, it's hard not to say Putin. Okay. I mean, he rides shirtless on horses.
Okay.
Who else can say that? Right. Favorite foreign leader of all time, maybe because she was so divisive and so many people hated her, Margaret Thatcher.
Okay.
Because, like, she commanded a room. When she walked in, people, they hated her, but they listened to her.
Yeah, yes.
I don't know. I'm not going to claim to be highly educated on world leaders. I will say that.
Okay.
Oh, the new Canadian young fella. I don't know his name.
Yes.
But he's young. I don't know, whatever.
Yeah.
He's young. He's not Anthony Weiner. Okay. That's good. But here's the real thing. My only real issue with this election cycle is the two nominees from the two major parties have a combined age of over 128 years old. I'll just put it like this. I'm not ageist. I'm not rageist. I'm not ageist. I'm not racist. I'm not sexist. Because everybody is to a degree for certain things. I personally believe older people are less in touch with the main line of America. I would much rather have somebody younger in office.
Justin Trudeau is who you're...
Justin Trudeau.
Every time I think of his name, I think of the infomercial Trudeau guy.
Right. And I just like him only because he's younger.
And he talks about computers and technology in a way that he sounds like he might know what he's talking about somewhat.
Yeah. One of the meme things I saw was, so you're telling me in this election cycle, we have the person who doesn't understand how email works and the person who doesn't understand... what was the thing? It was one doesn't know how to attach anything to an email, and the other one doesn't understand how to properly delete email or something like that. I don't know. But this is a really cool app is what I got to say. I'm literally putting out a hit list. You know, like people put out contracts, have people killed. I'm putting up a hit list on my son's room, and I put this app on his phone. And I'm encouraging him,
read
like a paragraph a day. That's all I'm asking you. I'm not asking you to stop watching your 13 hours of YouTube videos a day. What kind of father would I be? But I'm asking you to read a paragraph a day.
If he does that, he'll be so much farther ahead than all of his classmates, though. You know what I mean? He'll be able to raise his hand with confidence and say, yes, you know what? I've heard of that. And all these other guys are going to... The other kids in the room aren't going to know anything about what's going on at that moment. I mean, they might learn it, you know, 10 minutes later when the teacher decides to teach it. But your son, just by being exposed to it early and, you know, before the rest of his class, that'll help him out a lot, too.
Right. And Rhino in the chat said we should all write in for Elvis.
I had a lady tell me she was going to write me in. I go... Because unfortunately, on the presidential ballot, I haven't seen it, the official ballot yet, but there is not a no vote. You can't just vote no.
No. There used to be a none of the above. And if you remember the movie Brewster's Millions, some states still have in their election, when you do mayor, there's a selection for none of the above. In the presidential race, there is no such thing as none of the above for a reason. Because, and I'll say this, I'm going to put a link in the chat if I can. If you want the link, send it to me. It's a hipster guy. I'm sorry, almost a millennial guy. He's like 29 years old, so he's almost a millennial. With a weird bouffantish thing on his head called hair and shaved on the sides. He looks weird. A TV show on True TV that stemmed from, I believe, a Funny or Die thing called Adam Ruins Everything. Where he takes a topic and just destroys it for people. You know what I mean? Like people are out to eat and they're trying to enjoy their meal and he just destroys how restaurants are bad. And he does one on the election cycle and the electoral college. It's quite eye-opening is all I'm going to say. Even for people who I think are at least educated on it. And it's really just because there's once in a while little bits of information like how unbelievably racist some of the people were. And it's because back then it was... dare I say, socially acceptable to some degree.
Yeah, right.
But it was, to me, a very entertaining episode, and I watched that, and then I had to go back and watch every show this guy did. And there are some good ones, like on hydration, on how we overhydrate ridiculously in this country. Yeah. He does one on the Electoral College where he has a time machine, and at the end, the hippie-like lady from California who's there to rock the vote is like, I give up. It's pointless. Why am I voting? Kind of thing. But then he brings her back in. This is why you need to vote.
I haven't seen that. Yeah, the hydration one didn't work too well because I was on my wife about drinking more water because she was having kidney stone issues. I'm like, drink more water. And then that comes up and she's like, well, look at what are you doing? what are you saying?
And I'll say roll another quick side tangent. I got into a Hank Green, John Green, they do SciShow, Vlog Brothers, all this kind of thing on YouTube. They also are having a doctor, a legitimate doctor who has wrote papers in the past, do a show called Healthcare Triage. One of the things he said was there has never been any study of any magnitude defining on how much water anybody should ever have on any given day. Bottom line, you're thirsty, drink something. If you're not thirsty, don't drink anything. Yeah, like how some marathon runners weigh more at the end of a marathon than they do before the marathon because they drink so much.
I think
that's just crazy.
Yeah. I think it doesn't hurt to, you know, if you're in an environment where you know you're going to be sweating it out or whatever, it don't hurt to pre-drink either, you know,
I don't know. Do you remember that Nintendo Wii contest
a couple years
back where the lady died from overhydration? I'm just saying.
Or if you're going to...
There is no perfect answer. Nothing in the universe is completely black and white.
Sure.
Everything is shades of gray. Just stay hydrated. Being a little bit overhydrated ain't going to kill you, probably.
If you know you're going to dehydrate yourself, prepare so you don't have a hangover. Headache.
Yeah. Okay, so Interactive Constitution by National Constitution Center. Literally, I just encourage people, once in a while, stop playing Candy Crush. Once in a while, get off of Facebook. Once in a while, get off of Google+. Once in a while, pause a YouTube video and just read a paragraph or two from here. It's interesting stuff, I promise.
Yeah, read the stuff while you still can.
And this is coming from the guy who doesn't read, but I was reading this.
Of course, he was using the pocket tool, and it was reading it to him, but...
No, I couldn't figure out how to do that.
Okay, so if you do have a foreign leader you like and you want to talk to them, this next app will help you communicate. It is called Memrise, Memrise. Learn languages free.
Huh.
And I tried it just a little bit. It's really a very step-by-step course. And you got to devote some time, and you really need to learn, you really need to learn a new language, or really need to want to learn a new language. I was just checking it out because I thought it was a cool app. So I didn't invest nearly the time or anything to it that I needed to, but I did see how it was going. It started out with some very simple, Italian. I was trying to learn Italian on it, and, it was starting out with some very simple, you know, ciao and stuff like that. And, it uses different ways other than just memorization to get you to remember things. There's different, it's almost gamifies the learning of a new language.
Okay, real quick. 25 seconds into the video, for some reason, they're showing a guy literally sitting on the toilet. So,
I didn't even know that was a video.
So I'm mildly freaked out by that, and it's paused for everyone watching the video now. You can clearly see the guy sitting on a toilet. Have you tried Duolingo, Eric?
I've looked at it.
Okay, because that to me is right now, that's the pink elephant in the room when it comes to learning foreign languages. And I'll say this. I think they're doing a lot of things right. I think they're doing a lot of things the correct way, tell people to learn. But I also know there's room for improvement. So I'm hoping this app does do things a little bit better.
The people who have used this app seem to like it because it has 337,000 5-star reviews. And,
oh, wow.
And then the bar graph drops off heavily. There's not a whole lot of negative reviews on this thing.
Wow.
421,000 installs, editor's choice, top developer app.
Oh, well, there you go. That says a lot right there. Yeah, I mean, and here's the thing. If I was below the age of 21, 22, probably, below the age of 30, probably, I would literally try to learn at least some of another language. And the real reason was here's the reason why I should have. I'm learning now just how valuable it can be on your job application for a lot of jobs if you know other languages. It really is. It's the kind of thing that literally sets you apart. How many Americans that know multiple languages versus other countries in the world is ridiculously low.
Yeah, I could have had a job once just because I know another language. It's for an international company, but the thing they wanted me to do, and I didn't take the job, was because they wanted me to speak 100% in that other language to that country. And I was not at that level for them. I don't know if you scroll down on this app page door and you go to the what's new, it kind of gives you an idea of how it works. It's like, it's a back and forth between you and Memrise. You, opening app. Memrise. Hi, here's a new word. You. Easy. Memrise. Here, another word. You. Okay. Memrise. Tap the words to make a phrase then. You. Piece of cake. Your brain. Oh, come on, we just learned that. Then your brain. 404. Memrise. Psst, look over here. You. What? Memrise. Look. Points at a magic wand. You. Well, what's that doing there? Memrise. Tap it. You. Tap. Memrise. You. Tap. Tap. Memrise. Es un. Your brain. Genio. Memrise es un genio. So it's a fun way to, it's more of a fun way to learn a language, I think.
Interactive. And to be honest, that was the whole reason I thought back in the day the Rosetta Stone mm-hmm. was as popular as it was. It wasn't because it was good. It was just because it was the most interactive way at that time to learn another language.
Yeah.
And when you, and many studies have shown, and I learned this from Veritasium, another YouTube channel. Thank you, YouTube Red. Mm-hmm. That there's plenty of studies with large participant bases that show interactivity during education increases the amount of stuff that sticks with you, stick-to-itiveness, versus just sitting there staring. Like, you know, most modern schools today where you just sit there and stare.
Yes. Yeah. Unfortunately.
So that's cool. I mean, this is definitely cool. This is the kind of thing where if I really did in my job at all, if it paid at all to know another language, I would do it. Unfortunately, I would have to learn right now Ukrainian or Russian. I would also have to learn Indian, Hindu, I guess, type languages. Mm-hmm. I would also have to learn, I want to say, I think that because we have cliques and groups of people. I believe there's also a group of Polish people, too. I would have to learn too many.
I think if I had one that I decided, put in my head, I have some free time, I'm going to learn a language, it would be Mandarin Chinese. That would be the next one I'd learn.
Let me tell you something. I would love to be able to go into a sushi restaurant and be that douchey hipster guy that asks for his stuff in that native language just once. So they could turn to me and say, what? I speak English.
Yeah, I've only had eel roll, and I just had that within the last month. That's the only sushi I've ever eaten.
Well, I'll tell you right now, the beautiful thing about sushi is, in America, a lot of it is already cooked. A lot of it is not raw stuff, and there is a very broad range of flavors, I'll say, in American sushi. There's some good stuff out there. Okay, the next one I'm going to bring, Eric, I'll say this. I think it's a little bit weird. I don't know how popular it's going to be per se, but I at least thought it was interesting. We all are aware of what an inbox is. Okay. This is what they call a notification inbox.
Okay.
I don't know about you, but once in a while I get a notification and I either accidentally swipe it or tap it and I'm not convinced, I'm not sure about what it said kind of thing. This app can not only show you history, but it can modify your notification drawer to say, hypothetically, anytime this app pops up in your notification, just swipe it away. Just get rid of it. Anytime this app pops up with a notification, move it to the top. So there's definitely a little bit more functionality versus the default one. Like there's an automatic feature built in to automatically clear all ad notifications that ever pop up in your notification.
Oh, well, that's worth the price right of entry right there. That was definitely one of the first, you gave me those two scenarios and I'm thinking, well, some cheesy game that throws some weird notification would be one. And then, like Voxer, always be on top. That would be another one because when they're tiled, I don't know about you, man, but it don't take long for my notification bar to fill up. And then when I swipe it down, it takes a little bit to get through them all.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes after a meeting, it feels like I got 20 plus notifications.
Yeah.
And I will say the real reason I saw this and it stuck in my brain was the people everywhere who tried TouchPal complaining about the ads and the notification bar that seemed inevitable. Some people it was near instantaneous. Some people it was weeks where it would happen.
Mm-hmm.
And then they would just rage quit and rage uninstall it to where I told them, look, all you got to do is just hold and tap the notification, click app info and turn off notifications and you'll never see them again. You know what I mean? You don't have to rage quit. But with this application installed before you would install TouchPal, you would never even know those things existed.
Yeah. I had the notifications turned off. It was the locker that got me, the lock screen. Yeah. I'm like, no, I'm not having a lock screen. Steve Cherubino taught me a long time ago not to have a lock screen.
Yeah, trust me, Eric. The very first time I saw that, I did go blitzkrieg, but I didn't know what app was doing it.
I didn't either. And I just started uninstalling them until I figured it out.
Yeah, they call it in the app, I believe it's called Lucky Lock Screen or something like that. Lucky My Beep. No, it's not Lucky. So I'll say this. If you suffer from notification fatigue, or you want to blanketly get rid of all ads from your notification panel, I really do encourage you to check it out. Again, it's called Notification Inbox from Ripple Technology. E for everyone, completely free. No ads that I see. 118 reviews, 4.0 rating, updated September 22nd. So very recently, between 10 and 50,000 installs.
Now, with this, can you still do like your fancy notifications?
Fancy notifications?
It might be a NuGet thing where you slide down and you see all your emails open up in your notification bar.
Oh, yeah.
You can still do that.
I can do that too. Now, in mine, I have to two-finger drag down a notification to have it expand.
Okay.
But yeah. This shouldn't change.
Because I find that extremely useful. I love doing that.
Gotcha.
New in Android. So is Android NuGet 7 or 6? That's 7, isn't it?
7.
Okay. New in Android 6. Anyway, it's just tell me about the permissions I gotta allow. That's fine. Yeah, I installed that one. Thank you, Dora. I'll give that a try. Looks cool.
No problem.
I got a couple more apps. They're just kind of, I'll just empty my tank real quick. These two are real super fast. Not much to them. I'm just gonna put them out there. The first one is called Frex, F-R-E-X, and anybody who listens to other podcasts has heard of a fractal. And this is just a diagramming way that you can describe or see what a fractal is or show it what a fractal is to somebody. It's just basically a fractal that you make on your phone. And these are not simple objects. They may look like, they're just lighting up some pixels on your screen. But when you go to zoom in on these, there is some definite math going on because I can see the refreshes as I zoom in if I go too fast.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's the whole thing. This is a algorithmically determined structure, is what I'm going to say. It is a drawing, but it's a structure. It's literally like, in chess, you have the knight up two pieces over one, two pieces over up one. That's an algorithm, basically. This is a math algorithm that, when ran and when colors are put to it, have basically endless complexity.
But it's always the same thing.
Well, yes.
Over and over.
It's like the hand where it like zooms in, and then on the top of one of the fingers is another hand, and then it zooms in on top of the fingers. It's the endless depth of, it's like the Homer Simpson Simpsons episode intro where you start looking at Homer, and then you zoom in, and then there's his head. You zoom in, there's his scalp. You zoom in, there's a cell. You zoom in, there's a red blood cell. You zoom in, you're inside the red blood cell. You zoom in, you see the nucleus. You zoom in, you see the particulates. You go in, you see the quarks. You go in, and then all of a sudden, you realize you zoom in, you see a universe. You zoom in, you see a corner of the universe. You zoom in, you see a galaxy, and then you end up back looking at Homer again.
Yeah.
It's like it's like infinite depth.
Yep. Yeah, and you
that
can,
took a whole long time.
Yeah, you can. And there's little, you can do tweaks on it to change it. I mean, these would be good for like, do a screenshot of a cool looking one and use it as a background or whatever.
That's exactly what I was thinking, Eric. This is. Now, if you can make the colors, because you can do the color, custom color.
Yeah.
If you can make the colors less, clashy, like similar, more similar colors, it would make for a background where you could still read all of your icons but still see everything. There's a couple in here that are really just beautiful. I gotta say, in the screenshots in the place were really beautiful images.
And the next, my last app for the day, this is, I would say this is a crap app, but it can be used to mess with somebody quickly and once, because you can't do it twice unless they're really somebody who's dense, I guess, or very young. And this is called The Mind Reader by Lily Games. It's E for everyone. Basically, it's like an old-fashioned looking app with, like 1930s colors. It's got a crystal ball on there, and then so you hit enter. It says enter here. You hit that. And then it gives you 8 random numbers, and it tells you to look at these numbers, pick one of the numbers, and remember it. And then so you do that, and you hit the button again. And then it'll go to another page where it'll have a page full of like, 70 different numbers. you got to find your, and they're in order. So you find the number that you were looking at that you remembered, and right. you, there's a word associated with every number on that page, right. And you read that word and remember what that word was. You click it one more time, and then a crystal ball shows up, and then if everything works right and the magic works, a picture will appear in that crystal ball, and if it got it right, it'll be what your word said just then.
And of course, it's always right.
It's always right because it's a mind reader. It reads your mind every time.
I had to tell my son yesterday. There's no such thing as telekinesis. No, there really is no such thing as telekinesis. But I was watching a YouTube. No, Billy, there's no such thing as telekinesis.
Yeah. So give it a try. It might amaze you for a second, but that's it.
You might have to do it 3 or 4 times before you get what it's doing.
Maybe.
You might.
But it reads your mind for sure.
And I got to say, the avatar, the icon, the image for it, I think is really good, simplistic looking. It's just like a tripod little stand with the orb, the crystal ball, in a very artsy type of fashion.
That's it for my apps today. Dor, what else you got before we end up the show?
Okay, the first one I'm going to bring here into my tank is actually like an old rehash. This has to be new is what I'm thinking, because I did not see it appear on the Play Store, but this is actually harkening back to a older age of Google Maps. Long ago, you were encouraged to make custom maps. Hypothetically, like what I did when I did computer PC repair, every time a customer gave me their address, I went into Google on my desktop, because that's how I did it. I typed in the address, then I would put a pin in the address, then I would click the pin and I would say, save to my maps. And the maps is called my customers. Okay, you can make custom maps and custom driving directions. For instance, the first year I went to OLF, I created a map. And the year I went to pick up Mitch Haman, I created a map. I load this app. All my old maps are still there. You can save individual places, you can save groups of places, or you can actually save driving paths. So you can hypothetically say, I want to drive from here to there, but I don't want to go on this road. You go on your desktop, you create the route, because you can literally just drag the route up and say, I don't want to go on that road. And then save it to your maps. And then via this app, you can pull up your directions one click, and Google Maps will launch with that navigation following that route.
It had to have been that it was something in the hamburger menu or in whatever they were using for menus back then, 4 years ago, and they pulled it out and made it its own app, I guess.
I will say, yes, it had to have been there somehow, but I can tell you I was doing this before Android even existed.
Right, yeah, because I remember doing this on the computer.
Right, but I do believe used to be like embedded, and they basically broke it out. And probably because they saw nobody was using the damn thing.
Sure.
You know what I mean? So Google My Maps, of course, from Google Inc. What a surprise. Top developer. Only 69,000 reviews. E for everyone. No in-app purchases. No ads. Completely free. 3.9 average reviews. Between 5 million and 10 million installs. Updated May 5th, 2016. I don't know how I completely missed this.
But good on them for having your old customer's map still in there for you, though. That's pretty neat.
Yeah, so I just thought that this was cool. Now, if you know you're going someplace and you know you would like to go to a couple places, this is what you do. You hypothetically say, I'm going to go to San Francisco. I want to go to the Stinking Rose. I want to go to that street that all the hippies like, whatever. Can't remember.
Haight-Ashbury,
yeah, that's an intersection. I want to go to this old, concert hall kind of thing. You can literally do that ahead of time, save your maps, and then open up My Maps, and you can see all your places pinged right there on the map, and you can click one and say, navigate to that place. Instead of every time having to open up like a Google Doc or do a search, you can have it all done for you before you even get ready to go.
Yeah, I was talking about my 5X and my lack of data usage. One thing I do use on Google Maps a lot now is the offline maps, where if I know I'm going somewhere, and I've got the map pulled up of a general area of a certain circumference between where I'm at and where I need to go, I just say, okay, Google. Sorry, everybody. I just said to myself. You just say okay, and then it makes an offline map of that entire area with every road. So if you decide to get off the beaten path and want to go exploring a little bit, you can always, you know, find yourself, if you don't have a good connection where you're going, or you just don't want to use any data, you're covered. It is interesting that one of the screenshots of this app shows drop zones and Hawaiian reefs, and it has dollar signs floating around the Hawaiian islands, like maybe where they drop pallets of money back when we used to give it to our own country instead of other places.
I don't know. That sounds like a Grand Theft Auto mission.
Oh, it could be. That, I don't know. And that was created February 19th, 2015, the drop zones in Hawaii reefs.
No clue whatsoever. But I thought the app was cool. Okay, the next app I want to bring, Eric, it is unabashedly, unashamedly my youth. Double Dragon Trilogy from .emu, top developer, T for Teen, $3.49 to buy. It was on sale like a week ago when I bought it. I believe it was $1. 6,241 reviews, average 4.0 reviews. Between 50,000 and 100,000 installs, and it is eligible for the family plan, okay? This will let you play Double Dragon 2, The Revenge, and Double Dragon 3, The Rosetta Stone. You can play any one of them kind of thing.
The Rosetta Stone? That's the name of that one?
No, the Rosetta Stone. Yeah, Rosetta Stone.
Really?
Sure, why not? Wow. This does have native built-in Bluetooth controller support. Now, I'm the guy, when I was a kid, I could beat the original Double Dragon with one quarter. I was, for a short time, able to not die the entire game. That's how much I played this in the arcade. I was also the guy who could play Super Mario Brothers, the arcade game, and not warp and beat the game as well. So yes, I had a habit. And it was okay because it didn't cost me a lot of money because I could play for a long time. This period on my Remix with a Bluetooth controller playing this game, hell of a lot of fun. That's all I got to say. Hell of a lot of fun. I'm not close to as good as I used to be, but it's still a hell of a lot of fun.
Yeah, this is an arcade game I did play a lot too. I totally missed out on the 99 cent thing, but yeah, man, this is cool.
Yeah, and .emu, that's the company that basically, they take literal the code from the original game, and they basically port the code to Android. So the graphics are indeed the exact same graphics. The controls are the exact same controls. The difference is you don't have to pump quarters into it, you know? So yeah, that to me, I saw that, had no choice, had to immediately tell it to shut up and take my money.
Yeah, I mean, choice.
Yeah, and I'm going to bring one more game here at the end. And it's honestly in the same exact genre, same exact time period even. It's called the King of Fighters 98 from SNK Playmore. Again, right now, $2.99. Again, I got it on sale a week ago for, I believe, 99 cents. And I will say, every time I see these apps on sale, I do post in the Google Plus community.
Mm-hmm.
On sale was $4.99, now $1.99 kind of thing. So if you want to keep up on these sales, the easiest way to do it is to join the Google Plus community if you would like. Seriously, people, this is what I mean when I try to explain to people, this is not a show I do for Eric or Eric does for me. We do it for the listeners. If the listeners tell me, start an email list, and every time you see these sales, blow out an email, or can you please post them to Twitter? Even if you say post them to Facebook, I'll use Hootsuite or something and post them to Facebook. If just, you want to keep...
Don't ask us to repeat the name of the app at the end.
The app. Ever again. But if you wanted me to send these out in a different fashion besides the Google Plus group, just tell me and just tell me how you'd like it done. And I'll do it. This game is, again, this is from SNK Playmore.
Wow.
Which I'm 99%, I didn't bring this game last week, Eric. Or 2 weeks ago, but the SNK Playmore from the last show was Metal Slug 3. So I've had this game for 2 weeks. The King of Fighters 98, SNK Playmore, which is a child company of SNK, the real company, top developer, T for Teen, no in-app purchases, $2.99, 4.3 average reviews, between 100,000 and 500,000 installs, is eligible for the family plan thing. So buy it once, have it on all your family's devices. This is a Street Fighter-esque. And I always have to say that because that's the big dog in the house. Mm. That was a real popular one. But this is, again, the exact port of the exact arcade machine ported on Android. Just works. Just works really good.
So how much, I mean, I'm looking at the graphics of this, and I would say these graphics are four times as advanced as the ones from Double Dragon.
Mm-hmm.
And this was not a 1998 game, was it? Was it that late?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, but this was one of those cabinets where I believe every other game was a quarter, this was 50 cents. And I believe this was actually available on the Neo Geo home console, which was literally the $500 console with a $200 game kind of thing, overpriced ridiculously, but it really did do arcade graphics at home. I was not close to as good as this on this as I was Double Dragon or Street Fighter, but it is still really cool. I had fun playing it again. Again, I didn't make it too far. I never did, but it's a really good fighting beat 'em up game.
And you played this on your Remix Ultra too?
This one I mainly played on my phone.
Okay, so you didn't use a controller with this one then, probably?
I didn't use a controller, but I'm also sure on the GPD it would work. Bluetooth controller, you might need to load extra software in order to map the keys to the virtual buttons on the screen.
Yeah, sure.
This does have, and I never tried this, challenge your friends via Bluetooth. So me and my son can be in the same room. We're on the family plan. We only buy it once. And then via Bluetooth, we can multiplayer fight.
Oh, that could be fun.
Yeah. But then, of course, he would quit quickly because I'd crush him. Because, my kids still are at the age where they think I'm the master video game player.
Right. Yeah. I remember those days.
Oh, I know. It ain't going to last much longer, but
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. When I still don't remember beating Portal, but my kids swear I did.
Right.
And that just took me up a level. And then they're like, they started thinking, well, maybe he didn't.
Well, I just encourage you, Eric, roll with it.
Yeah. Heck yeah. I'll own that. Do you have anything else tonight, Dor?
I'm actually really sure I do. Let me just drag this tab over there. Since it's only two people on the show, it's too hard to actually document during the show. But
yeah.
So I'm just doing what I can to at least organize all my links. Unlike other shows who basically beg audience members to go into their Wikipedia page and document all the apps and stuff, which I gotta say, I mean, if that's not elitism, if that's not the Webster's Dictionary definition of elitism, asking other people to go in and do your work for you, even though you're paid to podcast, that really is unbelievably insulting.
Yeah, but they don't make you listen to ads during that podcast.
They constantly pump ads out to you. I'm going to bring this game only because to me it looked different. There's not really anything super special about it. It's an endless runner type game called Ancestor, Ancestor by Super Mega Quest. Super Mega Quest. 1,600 reviews. Does have in-app purchases. Is completely free. 4.3 average reviews between 10,000 and 50,000 installs. Hasn't been updated since January. I believe I got, this wasn't on sale.
Wow.
This is basically an endless runner, but to me it's a little bit different at least. As you're running from one side of the screen to the other, things like pop up and you either have to like combination unlock them or shoot them or other combinations thereof. It is definitely a little bit pixelated, the graphics, but I will say I think it's freaking gorgeous.
This is a beautiful game, Tor. This is amazing. I mean, it's kind of a retro-ish pixel, but the way the backgrounds move and things in this video anyway, this is a gorgeous game. Really cool.
Yeah, I'll say there's certain parts of the game that are obviously obsessively pixelated, like the character itself. But then the background and some stuff is so far away that it doesn't look as pixelated. So, yeah, to me, the beauty of this game was enough. And unfortunately, there is a video for it in the Play Store, but I swear it's still pretty good, still pretty fun. It is a little bit of a a game where you could get raged.
Yeah. It's a real mashup of different styles of graphics. I see in the one screenshot, it's got like ice cubes or something kind of floating around, and it kind of reminds me of old Asteroids. But then there's other parts that remind me of Tron. And then there's other parts that sort of remind me of Pitfall, but then really, really good graphics versions of them. It's hard to explain. You're going to have to check this out. It's called Ancestor.
Yeah. This was a lot of fun. This is the kind of game where if it does prompt me for in-app purchases, I don't see myself not just blindly clicking, yeah, sure,
yeah,
whatever, give me it, just because they're really doing good stuff. And this is literally the only thing they have in the Google Play App Store. So they're just doing the old Unix philosophy of doing one thing.
I think I'm going to install this on my tablet. Looks like a good tablet game.
It is a good game. The controls are non-Bluetooth, like gamepad compatible.
Oh.
There are certain places on the screen you have to tap.
Okay.
So it's, to me, very good tablet game.
Yeah.
And that's all I'll bring this week, even though I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 other apps in my queue. But really, that has to be a lie, because so many other shows have such a difficult time finding apps. So I just must be telling a lie.
That's a lot of apps we brought this week, and we talked a lot about hardware. Pretty full episode, even though we didn't have Mark.
Right. Well, I'll go through the list, unless you can.
I cannot.
Okay. We started with Don't Starve Pocket. We then did Google Allo. Then we did Paper Planes. After that, Interactive Constitution. Then Memrise, Learn Languages Free. Then we did Notification Inbox. Then we did Frex, F-R-E-X. After that, we did The Mind Reader. Then we did Google My Maps, Double Dragon Trilogy, King of Fighters, and then Ancestor.
That's a lot of apps.
So because of that, everyone right now needs to stop what you're doing, pseudo, go to Patreon, and join.
Yes, 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 that would be very nice. And hey, man, if you guys are out there, out and about, Door's going to be out and about. If you guys are in anywhere near Columbus, Ohio next week, go give Door a high five and buy him a beer.
A very crisp high five would be very appreciated.
All right. Well, we're gonna end it here. Good show, Door, and we will see you all next week. Thanks for listening.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.